May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness. Kind of a different beginning than most of the Gospels, isn't it? The Gospel of Luke, of course, begins with the wonderful story of a baby born in a stable, of angels serenading shepherds, of all of these marvelous events with angels appearing to Mary and Elizabeth. Matthew's Gospel begins with angels telling Joseph about the coming birth of a son he didn't expect, and wise men coming from far away to bring gifts to the baby. But Mark's Gospel doesn't begin that way at all. Mark's Gospel skips straight over whatever happened in the early years of Jesus' life and begins with a voice crying out in the wilderness. It doesn't even begin with Jesus. It begins with John the Baptist, a guy who is not exactly the guy you want as your rector up here in fine robes. This guy's a schlub, wearing camel's hair, which no decent person is wearing this season. Mark's Gospel would make a really lousy Christmas pageant. So why on earth does Mark start here? Mark either doesn't know the stories about Jesus' amazing birth to a virgin and angels appearing to shepherds and wise men trekking from the Far East, or he doesn't think those things are very important.
What are we doing?
Instead, Mark's Gospel begins with the moment that Mark thinks is critical, the moment that Mark says the revelation of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, begins. And it begins in the wilderness. It begins away from all of the places that you might expect an important story to begin. It's away from places where people have resources and opportunities, where there are crowds and markets. It begins not with people who are of significance, but with a wild-eyed prophet who eats wild honey and locusts for breakfast. Mark's Gospel begins in the wilderness with people on the margins, with people who you do not want your son or daughter married. But this, throughout the biblical narrative, is where the story of God often begins. Because this is where God is most often encountered. Not in the midst of busy lives, not in the middle of things that are going well, but in places and times where there isn't as much as you might want, where people are desperate, where people are seeking, where people have come out from those comfortable, safe lives and are on the edge of something terrifying. One of my favorite interpretations of the Beatitude, "Blessed are the poor in spirit," is, "Blessed are those who know their need of God." Because so often in the biblical story, the people of Israel, God's children, discover God when they are not all put together, when they are not able to bring patient when they are helpless and desperate and need God just to get through the day. The people of Israel encounter God when they leave Egypt and set forth into the wilderness after a couple of hours of preparation. The people of God encounter him when they are fleeing famine, not when they have granaries full. And the people of God encounter this new opportunity to meet God, not in a cozy house in Jerusalem, but in the wilderness outside. Actually, the other Gospels hint at that too. Because you'll notice that Jesus wasn't born in a palace in any of these stories. Jesus isn't born in any of these stories to people who have their acts together. He's born to a young woman who isn't even married yet, to a man who isn't sure that this is the woman he should marry, given the fact she's pregnant. The angels don't let the chief priests know what's going on. They proclaim Christ's birth to a bunch of shepherds out on the hillside. Over and over again, we encounter God, making God's presence known in places that we don't expect to look for him, to people who are not equipped to handle the message. And they encounter God in those places where they are not enough. And I think that is still true. When she was here doing the Eat and Share workshop with us, Tina Rathbo, who is one of the cathedral's priests who work with the homeless ministries at the cathedral, talked about how when she started the work that she does working with the homeless, she thought that her job was to bring Jesus to these people who live on the margins who don't even have the basic necessities of life. What she discovered is that these people were people of deep and profound faith. That Jesus was already there, and they knew it. That in fact, it turned out it worked the other way around. That it wasn't her sustaining the faith of her congregation. It was her congregation sharing their faith and sustaining her as she sought to minister to people with many profound needs, but who knew their need of God. We often encounter God ourselves most profoundly in the moments when we are not enough. In the moments when we are lost and alone, when we are at sea, when we are in the wilderness, when we can't find the path 4 feet in front of our feet, when we don't know what to do next, when we are aware that we are not enough, that we are not put together, that we do not have our acts together, when we are grieving and feel so profoundly and deeply alone. These are the moments when we discover the presence of God. There are the moments when the stories of the gospel carry the most powerful resonance, when the stories of crucifixion and resurrection carry their deepest meaning for us. When God's promises cease to be simply pretty poetry that we read on Christmas Eve, and become a desperately needed promise that where we are now, that in our lostness and our aloneness, God is there too. And that this lostness, that wilderness, will not be the last word in our lives. Those are the moments when we truly understand the good news that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has come to be with us, has come to share with us the way of living that leads to eternal life, that there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God, and that even death has no power. It is in the wilderness that we hear the voice promising, "Prepare the way of the Lord, for he is coming." And that is the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Amen.